So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you. And I think this is a real good news, bad news situation, Ranj.
Sure.
We're number six.
That's not bad.
In the country.
I could look at that multiple ways.
Yeah. However, it is.
Has our murder rate fallen to number six? No. Because that's a victory.
I don't know. Okay. I'll have to double check. We, St. Louis, were ranked number six among the nation's worst, quote, judicial hellholes. So it's not great. New data shows that every St. Louis resident pays a $1,653 annual tort tax, with over 30,000 jobs lost in the city each year due to lawsuit abuse. And joining us now to talk about St. Louis as a judicial hellhole is Tiger Joyce, the president of the American Tort Reform Association, a bit of an ignominious distinction, Tiger, for the city of St. Louis, but we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be on with you. Yes, being number six is better than being number one, but this is a list that no one should want to be on, and we hope that we can happily, after reform efforts and improvements, can remove you from the list.
Well, and I'll just add this, too, because we do have the bi-state area, but number seven on the list is the Cook, Madison, and St. Clair counties in Illinois. So I know a lot of our listeners are affected both by the St. Louis and the Illinois counties.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think there are probably some commonalities between the two areas, you know, but in particular, you know, we've highlighted some changes and some recent developments, which we think, you know, again, it's important for, I think, your listeners, at least from our perspective, to understand that, you know, that the issues that we raise and that we highlight really are not just lawyer issues. They're not just for judges. These are matters, as you cited the data in St. Louis about the impact that this has. This comes out of everybody. You know, ultimately, these costs and these abusive costs come out of the pockets of consumers. They ultimately get passed on to all of us as consumers. And I think affecting change, serving as a catalyst for reforms and efforts in that regard is really what we hope to accomplish. And I think there have been some improvements in Missouri in recent times, but certainly more is necessary. And we think putting a spotlight on these abuses is really important.
So the idea for people who don't know what tort is, and, you know, you can add to this, it is the idea that a business or some sort of service is negligent and careless or whatever, and ends up hurting somebody. And therefore, a person files a lawsuit in response. And that covers a number of different things. It's wide ranging. Would you argue that in itself is good, right? But you're saying that it's just there are too many abuses when it comes to these lawsuits.
Yeah, I think our civil justice system is one of the great virtues of our country, and people who are injured, and I think you give a good sort of general understanding. You're talking about physical injury and actually suffering an injury. Actually, if you read through the entire report, we see some jurisdictions where the problem is there's not even a requirement of proof of injury in some cases. But, you know, but your point is well taken. That's exactly what we're contemplating here. What we try to highlight is that when it goes too far in one direction, when you have lawyers from Kansas City who are simply sending demand letters to businesses in St. Louis about violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act, and, you know, on behalf of people who never even intend to use the facilities, use patronize a business, you know, what sort of useful purpose does that serve? Simply the cost of making it go away. Then you have on the other end of the spectrum, you have a very, very large award that was issued against a trucking company of over $460 million. Now, that actually took place in 2024, but the appellate process ran through this past year. And despite the fact that, you know, the individuals involved were over the legal intoxication level, you had the lack of seatbelt use was not admissible. All those matters were not admissible. The case ends up settling, and it settles. I don't know how much it settles for, but rather than really sort of being decided on the merits, it moves in the direction of one of these what we call nuclear verdicts. These excessively large awards in excess of $10 million. But back to your point, I think that our system is one of the crown jewels of how we govern ourselves and require people and organizations and businesses to take responsibility for their actions. But ensuring that it's done in a balanced way is what we think is important.
Yeah.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Just to give our listeners some real specifics here, and you referenced this, but the American with Disabilities Act, you know, generally a good thing, but also can be abused. And the James Beard winning chef, the James Beard Award winning chef that St. Louisans know, who owns Sydney Street Cafe and Peacemaker Lobster and Crab, got a letter from the Kansas City-based attorney who was representing a blind man and said that, well, for one of your restaurants, the screen accessed software is not compatible with the ADA. And this attorney, Kevin Puckett out of Kansas City, wrote that it was his goal to get a settlement agreement with Kevin Nishan, who owns this restaurant. Well, as it turns out, the Kansas City lawyer has filed at minimum 70 lawsuits on the behalf of the same blind man, who Kansas City reporters have said this blind man lives on the attorney's property and rents a trailer from him. And it just seems like they're in cahoots trying to find people to sue, because like maybe their websites somehow don't comply with the ADA, which, by the way, the website rules for the ADA are not clear. Like a ramp is very clear on how wide a ramp needs to be, but the website isn't like that. So you have this lawyer and this guy going around just trying to find places to sue. They've sued Straub's, they've sued Urban Chestnut, all these places right here in St. Louis.
That's exactly right. I mean, we talked about, you know, what is a tort or what are we looking at in the civil justice system? Normally, it involves actually suffering an injury. And here, as you mentioned, this is a case where the individual is really not, has not suffered any kind of an economic injury or physical injury. And this is an example of where you have lawyers who are using the system for their benefit and not for a broader benefit or to serve the interest of someone who has a legitimate claim. I would echo, I'm not an expert. We at ATRA are not experts on ADA compliance with regard to websites, but we hear widely reported, as you indicated, that the rules are quite complicated and unclear. And so it's something that is taken advantage of. But I think that it also demonstrates that this is not just an issue for large businesses. This is not just an issue for big manufacturers and others, or even I mentioned the trucking company. These are, you know, restaurants. These are, you know, small businesses. And if they're trying to do business, you know, with a website, you know, and just even their, you know, their facilities and you mentioned ramps and matters like that, railings, even there, I think there can be abuse. But it's an issue that I think demonstrate these cases really demonstrate that this is not just a matter for, you know, as I said, larger companies or insurers and others. But ultimately, these costs that and the demand is, usually for an amount that would be less than the cost of actually going to trial, you know, going through, hiring a lawyer, you know, engaging in the likely increase that a business would have based on the company's insurance in terms of hiring, you know, having the insurer retain counsel for the defendant. So all of that, it just takes advantage of that uncertainty, and I think it demonstrates again that too often we have examples of these matters where the system serves the interests of lawyers and not those who have legitimate claims. And for those people, you know, we hear about different matters around the country. Illinois, your neighbors, in many, you know, changed their rules with respect to the jurisdiction of the courts in Illinois. And what's the impact of that? That means you're going to have cases coming from all over the country being brought in Illinois courts. And keep in mind that it's the taxpayers in Illinois who pay for the courts, who pay to have the judges and the officials to officiate and manage the legal process in the courts in the state. So, again, the broader point that we think needs to come out of, and the purpose of our report is to highlight that ultimately these abuses and these excesses come out of the pockets of not lawyers and judges and others, but just everyday consumers and taxpayers.
So the data that you cite says that that tort is costing the average taxpayer $1,200, a little over $1,200 in the state of Missouri, a little over $1,000 in the state of Illinois, and that's something like 65,000 jobs lost. How do you get to that number? How do we know that it's 65,000 jobs that are lost as a result of this?
Well, that's an analysis that's done by a consulting firm that does this report every year. It evaluates different states and its jurisdictions. It uses a complicated series of analyses to make these determinations based on what it uses as what would be an effective and balanced system versus how the system is being undertaken and carried out in a given jurisdiction. So it varies widely. Some places, the numbers are significantly higher. Even in parts of California, I think we see for a family of four, the awards or the so-called tort tax for a family of four could be almost double those amounts. Mm-hmm. So it does vary across the country, but they use a series of factors that they, and sort of the complexity of these types of analyses. And it's utilized as a basis to serve as an evaluation of the impact of lawsuit abuse, based on a series of assumptions about what would be a fair and balanced system.
Tiger Joyce, president of the American Tort Reform Association, we appreciate your time. Thank you for visiting with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
That is Tiger Joyce joining the show.